check Hajira if we've number to proceed. It's now 9 o'clock.
Morning, Chairperson. I see 3 members to date. We'll wait on 1 more member.
Honorable McKenzie.
We have 4 members, Chair. You can go ahead.
Good morning, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you. So if we can then proceed. As I said, morning, honourable members, Deputy Minister, as well as the leadership of the entities present, which is Yusuf and Yusuf in this case, acknowledge the term board, as well as the executives there, as well as the department delegations, PLOs from the ministry, fellow South Africans who are following our discussions as a committee from different platforms. May I just dispense with formalities quickly? Just to remind ourselves all the time about the rules of engagement on virtual platforms, that at all times we'll keep our mics muted if you are not the speaker recognized to speak by the chair, as well as your video camera. But if you are recognized by the chair to speak, you will unmute your mic as well as your video camera, unless you are experiencing connectivity problems, in which case you would alert the meeting so that we allow you to proceed without that. So that's important to always remind ourselves of that, because our discussions, as I said, are also followed, so people would want to see also the members who are making inputs on their behalf. We'll also just make sure that this is also understood to apply to point of orders that members may want to raise, that you do not start by opening the mic but raise it in the platform. Or at least indicate it through the chat platform that you would want to speak but unable to raise your hand, so that we have order in meetings and you'd only speak, even if it's a point of order, once recognized by the chair of the meeting. This includes those that are asked to join the session, whether they are to present or whatever, but as you join the session, every time you rejoin the meeting, ensure that your mic remains muted so that it does not disrupt a speaker that may be on the platform at the time that you are joining the meeting. If we keep to that, honorable members and other participants would not be taking time to stop a speaker from speaking in order to call for people to mute their mics and so on. So that will be very helpful. Honorable members, as you would be aware, our agenda is sent in the notice convening this meeting. We are expected to receive a presentation from USASA, USAF, on the 2019-2020 annual report. And this will also be an opportunity for them to respond to outstanding issues, which includes questions that honorable members would have asked when they appeared before this committee when we're dealing with the quarter two report. We'll also have the adoption of the minutes. Now, it's very important to understand understand, but whilst this is an annual report of 2019-2020, the committee discusses this report, having received the report for the quarter two of 2020-2021, which is in sequence terms, would have been also a response to some of the issues that would have been raised in the annual report itself. So it's very important to always keep that context. As I will be giving, as it is usually the case, it will be the Deputy Minister who would lead, of course I would give Hajira first to just for record to check those that would have applied for leave of absence or what's termed apologies that have been received, so that we place those on record. After the apologies, as I said, we will then give the Deputy Minister, Honorable Tegana, to lead the entity by giving an overview. We take it that the Deputy Minister will also use it as an opportunity to take the committee into confidence that since our last meeting with USASA, there was also an issue of interventions that were to be made as to be sent to cabinet at the time, so the 2 weeks would have lapsed by now. So we need to be briefed as the committee so that we have confidence that things are turning around in that space. So Angela, may I just check with you to formally record the apologies?
Morning, Chairperson. Morning, members. We have an apology from the Minister who is attending an NCCC meeting, and also Mr. Matisha. Thank you.
So those are apologies that have been forwarded to the Secretariat support, that of the Minister, and as well as an apology from Honorable Matisha, Honorable Fandam, was just to end us. And it's up.
Chair, when's the last time the Minister joined was here for a meeting? She's always joins for a little bit and then she's gone. And the Deputy Minister is the one who attends meetings. Chair, can you please raise this issue and take it up? It can't be that she joins very quickly and then she runs off and she doesn't come to meetings.
Not that Honorable Fandam, the concern that you're raising. And I'm sure, as I recognized, the PLOs also have heard that they have a responsibility to coordinate with the ministers in terms of their diaries and so on, as it relates to the committee in particular. So I've noted that point. Any other apology that I may have left out without knowing, Honorable Members, so that we then proceed to the Deputy Minister.
My apologies, Chairperson. Good morning to you and the Honorable Members. I've just received an apology from the office of Honorable Kwangwa. He is attending to other committees and won't be able to be part of the committee. Thank you, Chair. He's an alternate member. Thank you.
Thank you, because he said that I've not seen Honorable Kwangwa in the committee, so I thought they may have changed the alternate for two parties. No, thanks. Would note all those apologies, Honorable Members, including the concern raised, and I'll definitely follow it up. In that score, as we welcome the Deputy Minister, Honorable Kekana, she would then take us through a brief overview. As I said, that gives also an opportunity to make a reflection on the interventions that are being made post-cabinet, as it was reported in this committee at the time. The minister appeared before the committee and the entities. So Deputy Minister, I'll give to you. But with regard to the presentation, so just to guide, that honourable members would have had the time to look at the presentation. So we'll put both you, yourself, including the responses to the questions that would have been raised previously, which we couldn't get responses to given the time of the meeting. You'd use the 30 minutes to do that, and then members would engage. I'm doing so because other members would also need to attend the House physically, and in that scope, we'll try and manage the time that we don't lose many of the members, which includes the chair of the meeting. Honorable Mackenzie, you wanted to speak before that. Over to you. I recognize you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to you and the colleagues, all protocol observed. Chairperson, in the last meeting we had a number of entities come to present, and I posed a number of questions, I think specifically of the South African Post Office, and we were assured that we would get those answers in writing. We haven't received anything to date, unless I've missed an email somewhere. Can you give me an indication of when we're likely to receive those answers? Thank you, sir.
No, thank you, Honourable Mackenzie. Would follow up on that, but just remember that for those entities that were to still appear before the committee, we would have agreed that we would still have an opportunity like USASA, CETA, SAPO, who are still coming before us, that we'll still have to interrogate even the answers that would have been forwarded, so we still have an opportunity to engage with them. But indeed, would make a follow-up immediately after this meeting with the PLOs and our sectoral support, so that those that are received were able to circulate them accordingly. Honourable Mackenzie.
Thank you, Chairperson. Sorry for the interruption. If I can just add to that. I really appreciate the intervention. I believe that the answers I posed to SAPO were that critical that we actually can't wait until the next term before they appear. So, and having looked at the latest program, unless I'm missing something, I don't see the SAPO there.
Yes. Remember, I had asked you, we have asked your permission that we can amend the program when the situation allows, and in that score, immediately when we received the information that our oversight visit was not agreed to, we immediately scheduled SAPO because we didn't want it to go to the next term, and therefore we'll be seeing them next week. That's the reason I'm specifically talking to you, SASA, to see them, which is also coming tomorrow, as well as SAPO, which would dedicate time for next week. So that's where we are. But all I'm saying, Honourable Mackenzie, taking forward your point, is to follow up after the meeting for those that may not be coming before the committee, that we still need those answers in writing. However, the ones that are coming before the committee, even if you have received the answers, you have a second opportunity to interrogate the answers you've received based on their appearance before the committee. Thanks for that. Deputy Minister, I take it that you are ready to speak to the committee. Over to you as I welcome you once again.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Good morning to the members of the Portfolio Committee. And also, let me take this opportunity, Chair. I'm not sure whether members can see me.
Very much, you are
we have got a lot of energy as we see you. Let's proceed.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me take this opportunity, Chair, to also welcome the interim board that has been put in place. I know it is led by Mayor Zuki Rantau and the entire team. I'm doing this because we have not met officially, me and them, because members would remember that this entity falls squarely under the delegation of our minister. Chair, I think one of the important things that as we'll be tabling the annual report, including what you have just said, that as you'll be engaging on these issues, you'll also be juxtaposing the second quarter report. The important issue around USASA, it's stability at governance and stability at the executive. And I think this is one of the things that we spoke about even last week as we engaging with the committee. And that is why you see the interim board that has been put in place. This is one entity, Chair, that's going to be able to help us on the commitment that the President has made of ensuring that the spectrum is available. Its ability to deliver will then assist, especially where the broadcasting entities are on the spectrum, to migrate quickly. And this has been a thorn on our flesh, and I hope as we engage, we'll be able to deal with that. I'm on my back foot, Chair, because I will not be able to respond on the issues that the committee wants me to respond to, precisely because the engagements that you had previously was with the minister. So I will urge you to at least put some of the things aside, and when the minister is available, you'll be able to engage on that. So I want to ask the acting DG and the interim board chair to take you through and do the introductions of those who are here to take the committee further. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister. And thank you, Chairperson, for giving us the opportunity. I did not open my video. Should I open it, Chair?
Or yes, if your connectivity has been problems, we would want you to, so that you know who the chair is. Thank you, we can see you.
You can see me now.
Yes, please proceed.
Thank you very much, Chairperson of the committee. Honourable Member, the Deputy Minister and the officials from USASA, we are an interim committee, as you have heard that I'm the Chairperson of the interim board. My apologies to say committee, an interim board. I am aware of the difficulties that you have come across in the entity, and we as this interim board, we are cognizant of everything that is happening, and we are here to help not only the portfolio committee, not only the department, but also the South Africans to get what is due to them. We are here to help and also with the guidance of the committee, we would want to work together so that everything that is supposed, USASA is supposed to be doing correctly, lawfully so, it is done. I can assure you, Chairperson, that with the team I am working with as a portfolio committee, I mean, as the, my apologies, Chairperson, I was part of a certain portfolio committee, so every time I speak, this thing of portfolio committee comes to my head. As the board of USASA, we will make sure that USASA is doing what it's supposed to be doing. The rollouts that are supposed to be done will be done. Chairperson, I can assure you that we will make sure that all the acting positions that we have, they will be filled with permanent people, and we will work towards connecting the whole of South Africa, if it is possible for the whole of South Africa, but those provinces that need to be connected, that I can assure you that we will work towards connecting the provinces and the rural areas that need to be connected. Chair, I will look at the issue of the questions that were supposed to be responded to by writing. We'll talk to the committee secretary so that we look at those questions and we get answers of those questions, and then we will send it through to you, Chairperson. That would be done as soon as possible. We would like to see USASA stable, and we will make sure that USASA is stable, Chairperson. That I can assure you. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Chairperson. Hopefully the engagements of today will be fruitful. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And I'm sure the presenters will be ready to proceed from here.
Greetings, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, USASA of Directors, the Deputy Minister and the colleagues from the Department. My name is Sipho Mngcebisa. I'll be taking the committee through the presentation, and I'll also be assisted by the Interim CFO, Mr. Niemann. My presentation is two-pronged. The first one, I will start firstly with USASA as the administrator to the fund. Then I will go to USAF thereafter. This presentation on the annual report, it's prefaced firstly by USASA performance trends, and they predate from the 2014-2019 MTSF to date. And if you can check here in the financial year of 2016-17, that in terms of performance there, we managed to achieve 67%, and what was not achieved was 33%. And if now you go to the financial year of 2017-18, you can actually see that now, in terms of what was achieved, was sitting at 42, and what was not achieved, which is denoted in red, it's 58%. Then going to financial year of 2018-19, leading to the financial year of 2019-2020, where we are presenting the annual report, you can actually see that the performance there is sitting at 50%. Then now coming to the annual performance targets, the ones that we achieve. Firstly, with the USASA targets, the target setting there, it's purely a administrative. We didn't have targets which are linked to the mandate of the agency. Like for instance, the mandate talks about USASA being an informant, meaning we need to conduct research which informs
the definition of universal service and access, or where we do the analysis gap, or where we make some recommendations, is either to the minister or the regulator. Reason being that, firstly, the budget we have, we are not able to discharge that. And also, the national ICT integrated policy, where it had specific recommendations, where now the issues of policy, they were now transferred to the ministry, and the issues with pertain to the area of regulations, they were then transferred to the regulator. Now, in terms of those three annual performance targets, the ones that were achieved, the first one, it relates to the area of the enterprise risk management, where now we were more now monitoring the businesses action plan, which it was more linked to the strategic interventions and also to the key policy project, of which we managed by year end to achieve 60% of that. And in terms of the performance targeting, we aim to achieve 50, but we then sit at 60%. Then in terms of now the second target, which is under the information and technology, we were then in that financial year doing the ICT master plan benchmark report. The reason why we were doing this, we wanted to benchmark USASA against other entities, as we wanted now to do an ICT strategy for the entity, where now we wanted to ensure that our IT infrastructure is aligned to our business strategy, so that we are able now to support the entity, and also we are able now to achieve the issues of efficiency, efficacy. And the last target which USASA we achieved is the one which it's more of a compliance, and it's under finance, where we were developing a procurement plan, which is linked to the 2020-2023 MTEF, where now this procurement plan, it was approved by the board, and subsequent to that, it was submitted to National Treasury. And the three missed targets now that I'll be dwelling to, the first one is the one that deals with the 30-day payment, where it comes from a National Treasury instruction note that requires all the entities of state to honor their commitments within 30 days, unless it is stipulated now on the service level agreement. With this particular target, what happened was that when it comes to the fund, we managed to achieve this for quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, and quarter four. But when it came now to the agency for the first three quarters, all the payments, they were honored within 30 days. But now there was one outstanding invoice that was not paid, and leading now the agency missing this particular target. However, in quarter one of 2020-2021, this particular target was achieved. And then the two targets now, they are relating to the area of research. Like I've given a preface to say that USASA, our research, it's not talking to the key areas of mandate, but it's more now supporting business, meaning the 2019-2020 research plan, it more talks now on two key programs. The first one is the USAF program evaluation studies. Then is the baseline studies. The reason why we're doing the program evaluation studies is that USASA, it rolls out this broadband to the impoverished municipalities, and we need now to go back and evaluate in terms of what we have done. And this, it also helps us to learn on the lessons learned, so that when we are doing our terms of reference, we will know exactly previously where we have gone wrong. And the last one is in the area now of the baseline studies, where now if we'll be rolling out broadband to particular municipalities, then we'll be doing needs analysis where we check the number of institutions there. We will check as well which communities there they are covered, like they've got a broadband coverage, and what kind of coverage, what technology are they covered for. So those are the two studies. But however, now at the end of the financial year, we only managed to deliver the USAF program evaluation studies, where we had partnered with the University of, it's called Nelson Mandela in Port Elizabeth, and they assisted us now to do a program evaluation study in Nyandeni local municipality, which is under the OR Tambo district. And we didn't finish on time the baseline studies, and those baseline studies they subsequently achieved in quarter one of 2020-2021. Then we have then lastly now the approval of the 2020-2023 research plan, where there was delays in approving it due to the fact that we were not sure with regards to when it comes to the indicator on the baselining as to which municipalities that will be doing, because at that time we didn't have the particular municipalities, and resulting us as well not achieving that target. Now, in terms of the actual achievements, now this slide, it shows that, like for instance, the first graph, it shows that we 6 annual performance targets that were planned, we achieved 3 were not achieved, and this graph now it denotes in terms of percentages that it was 50% achieved, 50% not achieved. And the following slides, they are similar to what I've presented, and I'll just quickly take the members through to say that the planned annual target there was the 50% implementation of business risk action plan as per the risk register, and by year end this was fully achieved, and we achieved 60%. Then the next annual target there was to develop an ICT master plan benchmark report that must be approved by the board, and that was achieved. Then the other target there is 100 of the valid invoices paid within 30 days from the date of receipt. This target, when it comes to USAF, all the invoices, they were paid within 30 days, but with USASA, we only missed one invoice, which then resulted us by year end not able to achieve this target fully. Then the other target now is the one that is also a compliance matter, where the board approved a 2020-2023 demand plan, meaning this is a procurement plan. It was done, and that demand procurement plan, then it was subsequently forwarded to Mr. Treasury.
Hello, Winnie.
Then the two targets that were under research, we didn't achieve the first one, when we needed to have 4 quarterly reports that emanates from the 2019-2022 research plan that was approved, and that it had 2 programs, the first one being the evaluation studies, the second one being the baseline studies, and the last one was the research plan now that was not approved, and it was only subsequently approved in the financial year of 2020-2021. Then in terms of now financial performance and the implementation of the HGSA audit implementation plan, I'm going to request our CFO, Mr. split Niman to take the members through.
Good morning, Chairperson. Through you, Frick has just had a situation with his just and load shedded. So, if I'd like you to please continue and take the members through. Thank you.
All right. When it comes to the area of the USASA, the only area that we had one finding that was not yet resolved was in the area of corporate services, where now it was based on the leave provision balance that was not accurate. This relates now to the leave provision, where when AGSA, they came on board, they found out that when they were comparing the 2019-2020 to the 2019-2020, the two were not reconciling. The 2018-19 was calculated on 18 months, whereas the 2019-2020, it was calculated on 12 months. And one of the things that caused this, USASA, we have a SAP ERP system that has a module on ESS, and this it needed as well to be updated. And by the time that AGSA concluded to do the audits, management was still busy now trying to reconcile all the leaves. But however, this, it has since been resolved now. And as such, this quarter four, this has been resolved. And it's just waiting now when the HSA comes just to validate. Other than that, USASA in terms of the 2019-2020 audits, most of the audit action plans, they are all achieved. And we don't have any outstanding, in particular from the USASA part. And when it comes to the financial performance, I will then have to wait, Rick. Then, with the permission of the chairperson, let me quickly go to the USAF performance report, hoping that Rick will manage to join. With USAF, the presentation is similar with the USASA one. It starts first on looking at the previous performance trends that predates as early as 2016-17, ending to the year of 2019-2020, where in 2016-17 the achieved performance, they were sitting at 33% and the non-achievement was 67%, and in 2017-18 the achievement was 30%, then the non-achievement was 70%, then 2018-19 the percentage there was 9%, then the non-achievement was 91%, and then in this period where we are now presenting 2019-2020, we were then sitting at 50% achievement, 50% non-achievement. And in terms of the annual performance targets that we achieved, the first one was in area now where we were monitoring the provision of broadband, where our target is 65%, to say that we'll be monitoring on monthly basis and check at the performance of the sites. We had sites that were in Nyandeni local municipalities that are 212. Some of them we are connecting government clinic, government institutions, there's clinics, there's schools, and also there's a free Wi-Fi hotspots, and also we had some sites that were at Imbende local municipality, that is at KZN. And out of those sites, because for KZN there were 63, and then for Nyandeni there were 212. Now that 89.10% is the is the achievement that was recorded in terms of the availability of those sites to the communities. Then the last target is the one that is under finance, but is now more of a compliance matter, that now we had also have a USAF 2020-2023 multi-year demand plan that was approved by the board. It was subsequently submitted also to National Treasury. Then the areas of non-achievement here, firstly, it's pertaining now to the provision of the broadband connectivity. We had identified two local municipalities that were previously connected by the agency. What happened was that in the financial year of 2014-15, we had identified Rachomu and Omorodom as one of those municipalities at the agency. We're going to connect, and where then we had appointed WPS, in fact, IBEST, to be the one that connects those municipalities. And USASA, when we are providing a subsidy, the first year is dedicated on the extension of the infrastructure, but now the two outer years is where now we maintain that connectivity by providing a connectivity subsidy to the service provider to connect all those identified sites. And after that period, normally now, we then move to add another municipality. The intent at the time was to say that let's connect for the period of 2 years, whilst then we will then talk to the municipality, to the department that is responsible for clinics, and also talk to the Department of Education. But when the term finished, we didn't manage to secure their commitments to take over connectivity. Now this financial year of 2019 and 2020, it was more now just to reconnect that, and we couldn't manage to do that reconnection due to the fact that after National Treasury approved the reconnection of Jomo Rolong and Rachomu, we then discovered that this particular service provider, it does not have an adequate license to provide these services. And also this is one of the requirements in terms of Section 90, right, Section 88, that we only provide subsidy to the holder of a valid license, and we couldn't proceed with this transaction. Then the last one is the one which relates now to the area of digital broadcasting migration, where USASA is providing set-top boxes to the qualifying households. Here, the delay here, it was more attributed firstly to the contract of the 26 installation companies that were ending in the financial year of 2018-2019, and the last contract was ending in quarter four of 2018-19. And as such as well, that the department also at the time, they were now going to review the delivery model for the BDM, which when it was approved, it was more premised on localization, where it required now the people that are doing installations, they must be residing within that particular municipality. And as such, we only managed, out of those 66% of the 860 STPs with the post office, we only managed to install 4,387. Then now, in terms of this project now, where we are, because the chairperson also requested us to just to do some kind of an update, is that the project now, we've got phase one implementation, which talks to the depletion of the stock in the post office, where we are still partnering with the post office. as the deposition partner. Then we have Spentev, that is our installation partner. And also we've got phase two implementation now, where we are distributing vouchers. We no longer, like for instance, procure a set of boxes, but we are now giving the households a voucher to enable them to migrate. And in this phase, we are partnering still with the post office, because registrations will be done at the post office, given now the footprint that they have in the country. And also we are partnering with the CETA, the reason being that we want these vouchers to be electronic vouchers. And CETA now is busy developing us a platform that is going to enable us now to be able to monitor these vouchers and to be able as well to report to say that this is our households we have installed, and we can actually confirm the existence of the redemptions. And then with the broadband now, what we have since done, because initially we were providing subsidy to a licensed operator firstly to roll out the infrastructure. Then for a period of 2 years now, this is where now we provide a subsidy to maintain that infrastructure. But we have since now gone back to the drawing board to say that let's rather not provide a massive for the infrastructure, but what will actually be, and let's rather I citizens from a licensed provider, and then we'll be also be able to connect more sites, while at the same time we'll be able as well to ensure that we'll be connecting now for a longer period. And as such, we then decided let's rather use, it's either the entities reporting to the department, or let's identify a service provider that has all the request site infrastructure that is going to be able to connect our sites. So our model, we have since revised it, whilst the emphasis now is us being aligned to the South Africa Connect policy, and whilst at the same time the speeds, we don't want any more to talk about connecting a school at 10 megabytes per second, but we were striving at least the minimum to be 30%, instead to be 30 megabytes per second. And from USAFA as well now, we'll be this time around working very close with the DCDT infrastructure branch, because they are the ones that are doing the monitoring of the SA Connect implementation, and we want our specification and the requirements to be in sync, and this is also going to assist us now to have a reliable broadband service, which now ensures the delivery of the services to the people, in particular those ones that are in the underserviced areas, and that is going to be also a reliable service that you will not be coming back to the portfolio committee to say that out of the 61 sites, we only manage in this quarter to connect 60 sites. Then coming now to the actual achievements now, this slide, it shows that what was planned, it was 4 annual targets, 2 achieved, 2 not achieved, and the other graph now, it's just quantifying these into percentages. Then these are the performance targets. The first one now was the 70% of the internet access at the existing sites, which it was confirmed at 89.10%. Then we have those two identified local municipalities with expired contracts, where we were wanting to connect Jomolong and Ratlong again, because they were connected by the agency in the previous financial years, but we couldn't, due to what we then discovered after the approval that the services provider does not have a requested license, and as such, we couldn't proceed on that transaction, as it would be an irregular transaction. So management is to take now to say that let's put this process in abeyance. Then the other target now is the one which is on the provision of the installation of the set-top boxes on the qualifying households, where we only managed to install 4,387. And reasons there, the first one was the issue of the panel that was managed by a SAPO that we had appointed 26 installation companies, and those contracts were coming to an end, and seeing that there were also discussions about localizing the installation, and as such now there were now delays in terms of now putting the new installers on board. Then lastly, this one is only now related to the area of compliance, which is under the finance section, but we needed to do a multi-year demand plan for 2020 to 2023 that needed to be approved by the board. And this was indeed done, and it was, after approval by the board, it was then submitted to the municipal treasury. Then in terms of the audit action plans for Yusuf, this is the area that the agency didn't do well. Firstly, we were qualified on the performance information, reason being that we had the installations that were done, that were managed by SAPO, and now when AGSA now they did a sampling of those 4,000 installations, they wanted extra portfolio of evidence to say that they want the confirmation of the households. They also want payments that can substantiate the. And when we requested that information from SAPO, because some of their branches were closed and some of them, they were not able to get that information. And as such now, the AGSA raised the issues of completeness, and also now from the financial performance side as well, they were also where the agency we were qualified based on the inventory that was not reconciling. And this, it has also been a problem for the past three financial years. But however, this time around, you saw some management through the internal audit team, what then we have done an open review process, where now it looks to the previous financial years where we were qualified, and we started now to look at the inventory, what was delivered to the post office and all that, and a report, it was done, and when it was presented to SAPO, SAPO then requested to say that USASA, we want an independent audit firm to be the one that do this. And they also highlighted the issues of, to some extent, we might not be objective. And as such now, the six audit findings on inventory now, they are subject matter of investigation, where now an independent forensic investigation working through National Treasury will be appointed, and the court office has agreed that with the outcomes, they are going to abide with the outcomes. Meaning, out of the 12 matters that were raised, 6, they were resolved, and we still have those 6 matters that pertaining to the inventory that are yet to be resolved. Then let me check either is Frick. Frick, have you managed to join?
Yeah, thank you, Sipo. I managed.
All right, let me go back to you, SASSA financial performance and then okay. The floor is yours, Frick.
Okay, thank you, Sipo, and good morning, Chairperson, members. Deputy Minister, Chairperson of your SASSA Board and the Board of Directors, colleagues, good morning, and I'm terribly sorry for this. Exactly 9:30, you know, I had a load shedded, so I'm sitting in the corner of my property on my phone, so I will try my level best to take you through. In terms of the statement of position, am I audible, Chairperson?
Now you can proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. On non-current assets, we have ended up on 625,000, Chairperson, and those figures represent the carrying value of the assets in the asset register. On liabilities, the current liabilities, we ended on 16.1 million, which means that the accumulated surplus at the end of the financial year was 18.5 million rand. Next slide, Sipu. Thank you. On the statement of performance, Chairperson, we received other revenue of 2.4 million rand, of which 1.9 million was for interest, 514,000 was debt that was recovered in the 1920 financial year. Then government grants, money received from the department was 82.9. Total interest or total revenue for the year rather was 85.3 million. On the expenditure side, we had a total of 92.1 million rand worth of expenditure. Included in that amount, Chairperson, is 16 million rand on the depreciation and amortization. So we closed on a technical deficit of 6.7 million because of that 16 million rand. Next slide, Sipu. Thank you. On the statement of change in net asset, Chairperson, we have ended, we have closed with 18.5 million because of the deficit that reduced the balance to with that 6.7 million. Next slide, Sipu. Thank you. Chairperson, on this one, if I can go to the... the thing is very small. If I can go to the interest received, we have budgeted for 900,000 worth of interest. At the end, we have recovered 1.9 million rand or 2.4. And the reason for the 1 million that we received more than budgeted for is because of the amount of money in the bank account, and the 514 is the recoveries that we had in the year. In terms of transfer, the budget that we had was 82.9 million, and then there was a retention of funds of 4.5 million, which made the total budget 87.4 million. In terms of the expenditure on personnel, there was a budget of 53.8. We have spent 49.3, and there was a surplus of 4.5 at the end of the financial year, and that surplus was mainly because of vacancies that was in USASA. On the legal fees, there was a budget of 1.3. We have only spent 297,000, and there was a saving of 1 million rand. And it was because of the litigations that did not finalize in the 1920 financial year. Then on the depreciation and amortization, there is that 16.2 million rand. And target was the 6.5, so there was only a 17,000 over expenditure. Then on the general expenses, the budget was 23 million rand, and then there was retention of funds of 4.2, which brought the budget to 27.2 million, and we only spent 20 million rand, and there is a saving of that 6.8 million rand. Thank you, Chairperson. I think I'm done with the USASA one. If Sipu can just take me to the USASA one, then I can do the same. Thank you, Sipu. On the USASA one, Chairperson, on the statement of position, as you can see there, we have closed with total assets of 2 billion rand, and the main contributor was the inventory, which was 189 million rand, and then cash in the bank of 1.1 billion rand. And the 1.1 billion rand is funds that we have retained over the past 3 years. Then on the liability side, we have closed with 59 million rand, of which payables and provisions was 34 and 25 respectively. In terms of the accumulated surplus, 1.9 billion rand for the year. Next slide, Sipu. Thank you. Then on the statement of performance, Chairperson, the total revenue that we had for the year was 139 million rand, of which interest made up the biggest amount of 75, and that was because of that 1 billion that you saw in the previous slide of cash in the bank, and that's why there was such a huge amount of interest. On the expenditure side, we only had 48 million worth of expenditure, and right. Thank you, Sipu. Chairperson, on this one, in the changes in net assets, at the end of the 18-19 financial year, we closed with the 1.8. And it has grown with that surplus that you have seen in the previous slide of 91 million rand, which means that the total amount is now sitting on 1.9 billion, not million, billion. Slide, Sipu. Thank you. Chairperson, on the slide, what I want to show you is the total revenue that we received from the department was 87.6 million. And then there was the retention of funds of 316 million rand, which brought the total budget of to 403 million rand. And then there was that saving of 340 million rand. Then on the digital migration, it was 26.6 million, and then there was the retention of funds, 1 billion rand. And we have closed with a balance of 1 billion and 52 million. Then on the broadband, we have a 57 budget, and then there was the 84 million that was retained, and then the total budget for the year was 141 million. And as you can see, the expenditure was only 14.8 million, and the total closing balance of broadband was 126.6. On the audit fees, we had a budget of 101.5 million, and we one million, and after there was less traveling by the orders. And thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, this brings to an end to our presentation, and can I hand back over to you for the question and answer session? Thank you.
Thank you to the SASA team for the presentation. I now know that honorable members would be ready to engage with the presentation. May I just note for purposes of record that I have an indication from honorable Fako
who is experiencing connection problems as she's traveling, and therefore would be able to rejoin once she's got connection. I also want to record that there's indication from Honorable Madlozi not feeling well, may join the meeting later after a doctor's appointment. So I just thought I should place that for record. I will now invite members who would want to speak on this presentation. If I can see your hand, you can also, as I said, indicate on the chat so that I can be able to recognize your hand. I see Honorable McKenzie's hand is up, Honorable Van Damme's hand is up. Am I leaving any other member that may have raised the hand? If not, would in the meantime take those hands and proceed to recognize other hands as members would raise them. I hope I'm still audible, Honorable members.
Yes, you are, Chairperson, perfectly.
Okay. In that order then. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to you and good morning to the colleagues.
Sorry to disturb Honorable McKenzie, but can you also stop sharing the screen so we can see each other properly?
Good idea. There we are.
Wow. Sorry, Cameron.
No, thank you very much for the intervention. See my face. Yes, good morning, DM, if you're still there, and Chairperson and colleagues. Thank you for the opportunity, and thanks for the presentation from this entity. To refer generally to the Chairperson's remarks, she said rather expansively that USASA planned to connect the whole country. It seemed to me a very ambitious statement to make, although admirable, very ambitious. Because I notice on page 27, the Vembe district is mentioned there as one of the NHI sites to be connected. Now, in the last term, Telecommunications and Postal Services did an oversight visit to Vembe district in Limpopo. And it still sticks with me very clearly, because one of the people that was awarded a contract to roll out a network in the Vembe district to do exactly that, to connect schools and clinics in the area, was a company called Main Networks. And I quote, Mr. Arthur was the man in charge of that, and nobody could tell me accurately how much money we spent on these networks. It was anything from 23 million to 41 million, and I've never seen such a disgusting network in my life. The equipment was rusted, it wasn't working, the sites we went to weren't working. So if I could just have an update from USASA, how's the Bembe district doing? Have you connected those sites? Are they working? Have you been back? Have you had a look? Have you had an oversight? Are they connected, and are the schools and clinics that were supposed to be connected to that, as well as the Wi-Fi hotspot, is that operational in the Bembe district? I would appreciate an answer on that. Then in terms of the issue with the South African Post Office and the set-top boxes, I notice on page 28 of the USASA report, you referred to a lack of cooperation, and it was covered in the presentation, and I thank you for that. So you can take this as a comment. A lack of cooperation from the South African Post Office, and then on page 28 of the USAF annual report, you talk about a lack of monitoring mechanism and a failure by the agency to conduct monitoring. So it's almost as if there's a shared responsibility for the failure of your ability to keep accurate records of how much stock you've got. My question based on this is, what is the quantum of this loss? or the discrepancy, let's assume it's not a loss. What is the quantum of this discrepancy? How many set-top boxes are we talking about, or what sort of money are we talking about? If you can give me an answer on that. Then just speaking generally to consequence management, have there been any progress in terms of consequence management? We know that this entity has had some problems in the past with funding and money and set-top boxes. Can you give me an idea, firstly, are there any SIU investigations taking place or have taken place and been concluded, and what is the result of those? Any disciplinaries? I can't find that in the annual report. If you could point me there or give me some indication of that, and the result of those disciplinaries, I would appreciate that. Then on page 64, you've got six bursaries at, I think it's 63,000, 279 rand and 23 cents. That's very accurate reporting. Can you just give me details of what those bursaries are, please? Because I see other line items relating to training and capacitation. Then on page 68, you talk about legal matters. And you have broken it down further in the report, and one of the major contributors of that 126 million is the Ratadima litigation. Can you give me an idea of what the progress is on that, please, and how close you are to resolving that, if at all? Then just a last general comment. I'm not sure if you're printing these reports or the fact that I've received them in a Word document as opposed to a PDF. My first comment would be that, you know, as a bit of a grammar Nazi, there are all sorts of spelling errors throughout this document. In fact, it's riddled. And if you just did a very standard spell check with Microsoft Word, for example, it would highlight all those spelling mistakes. That just indicates to me a lack of attention to detail, because it's a very simple thing to do, and an intern could do it, could literally go through and click on autocorrect and get those spelling mistakes corrected. Then the formatting seems to be all over the place. I've viewed the document in 100%, I haven't zoomed it, and the paragraphs are misaligned and all sorts of things. So perhaps it's the translation into the Word document. If you can tell me that the PDF and the printed document looks a lot better than that, I will accept your assurance on that, except for the spelling mistakes, which I think need to be corrected. And that's me done. Thank you, Chairperson.
Hello, morning,
Chair. I must say I'm very, very confused by what's going on at USASA. Last year, the minister told us that CETA and USASA were going to be repurposed and an administrator would be appointed. And it was for that reason that administrators were going to be appointed. Now we have an interim board. It's very confusing. So what's happening? Is the repurposing not happening anymore? What's going on? I think that needs to be clarified. And this is the problem with the minister not coming to meetings. Gratitude to the deputy minister for diligently attending every single meeting. It's greatly appreciated. But it is not fair for her to have to answer questions that the minister really must answer. And I think it is actually quite disrespectful of us as a committee of parliament for the minister not to avail herself for these meetings. I think a line needs to be drawn in the sanctuary. We can't continue like this. It's great that the deputy minister attends, but there are questions that the minister must be held accountable for. She can't use the deputy minister as her shield and drop her in meetings where she must account when she is the minister. If she no longer wants to be minister, then perhaps she must address this to the president, and then the deputy minister can become the minister, because that is certainly what it seems like is happening here. So what is happening with that? It just makes absolutely no sense. What is happening? And even the interim board, normally when an interim board is appointed, there will be, the public will be informed. I checked the ministry's website and I didn't see anywhere a press statement saying that the interim board has been appointed. I think while it is her responsibility to do so, I think we, it's also an area of accountability. So we need to be able to see who these people are, whether they have the expertise required to do their job at hand. And if we do not think that the interim board is suitable, we should be able to be given the opportunity to do so. Now, I'm not saying the interim board is unsuitable. It's just something that we should be given the opportunity to do so. And at the very least, the public informed and each member introduced, as well as the area of expertise and experience. Now, I'm not very sure what's going on there, what it is they are doing. They have the very, very important mandate of issues such as informing the minister on policy, on ICT policy. The government has been talking on and on about the fourth industrial revolution. Can you still hear me? Just saying my internet is not stable. Okay. We've been talking on and on about the fourth industrial revolution. But USASA seems to be asleep at the wheel. Just half of the targets are not achieved. It just seems all very mediocre. And there's nothing that I can say, wow, that's impressive. USASA is doing an excellent job. It's all just, it's not impressive. But I must say that the ICT benchmark report and the research plan that they mentioned, I'm quite interested in reading that. I think, as I've said in previous meetings, Chair, that we need to start focusing seriously on the digital technologies aspect of the portfolio and zeroing in on that. In other countries, COVID was used as an opportunity, or rather, a situation where you had no choice to implement digital transformation. And South Africa has been identified as one of those countries that have not done that. And I think it's our responsibility, particularly with digital technologies falling under our responsibility, to make sure that the entities that have the opportunity to do that, such as USASA, ITA, and so forth, do that. I'm really just unimpressed with USASA. You need to do better. You can't come here and tell us half your targets have been achieved. We need all targets achieved. And if a target is not achieved, there needs to be very, very, very solid explanation. So, Chair, I'm very sorry that this question has to be directed to the Deputy Minister, but she is representing the Minister. So what is happening? Repurposing or not? Administrator and our interim board. What's the term that the interim board has been appointed? Will a full board be appointed? Will be the administrator appointed? And then an issue that I know Honourable McKenzie has been very passionate about is spectrum. And I heard the interim board chair speak about USASA's role and the importance of doing that. There was an interdict yesterday, and if the Deputy Minister could just explain what that means for the auction that was set to happen. What does that mean? What discussions are being held with Telkom? That's me for now, Chair. I just need my confusion cleared, and then perhaps in the second round we can go in with more. I can go in with more incisive questions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Fontaine. May I just check if there are other members who would want to speak, but I have not been able to recognize before I allow responses from the ministry and the entity.
Thank you very much, Chair, and also greetings to the Deputy Minister and the portfolio as large. My humble apology because I'm not well, Chair, and it's even worse because it's the challenge of the tonsils, Chair. But let me try just to come in, Chair, on the side on the report of USASA, and also acknowledge the report as they have been presented, the report to us. But also let me just join to these other members, Chair. Maybe if we can say on the side of the Deputy Minister, we would like us to get a clarity also maybe on the side of the caretaker who was in the USASA to say, is he no longer there as we are having now an interim board? And can we get maybe an explanation to say the caretaker maybe have tried to deliver what he was supposed to deliver to the USASA, to assist the USASA? And really, finally, what is the real answer to say he is no longer being appointed or is going to be the board who will just move until the minister appointed a real board? Because if I can hear, they are just saying it's just an interim board at this moment, Chair. So if we can get the clarity on that. But on the side of the report of USASA, I will just check on both sides, USASA and USA, to say indeed in the last portfolio or in the last quarter, it was a little bit challenged on the issue of the report to say we were not happy because they were not so much performance on that side. But we can see also this second quarter report, especially on the side of the BDM, as you can see on the side of their targets to say, they say they have increased from 75 to 89.10%. But what we would like to understand is that all these targets that they never managed to achieve, especially as they were raising on the issue of the connection on, is it Jomorolong and also in northwest of Ratu, to say now, as they have those challenges, what are their plans now in order to cover those connections, because they didn't manage to complete their task there. What are the plans now to improve or to complete on those sites on the issue of those connections? Because also if you can listen, they say on the side of the installation, the offset of boxes, they managed to have this 66.6, which is that 4,387. What are they saying? Because they have given us such a huge number that they were supposed to move on that side of set of boxes. What is going to happen? Is there any movement or a plan to complete on those issue of set of boxes? That's what I would like to understand, because if you can check on some other issues, they said they've managed to work for 50-50. But what are those also 50% that they couldn't reach What are their plans on the side of USASA? That's what just I wanted to get a clarity on those. But on the side of the finances, I can see they are trying to push in order that they can even correct on those side of the inventories. But we will just monitor and see that are they performing to such an extent that they manage to close those gaps that are there on that side of the finances, Chair. I will just pause on that side, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Kubek. Please get well, Celeste. We really appreciate that you are able to make the contribution. I also note in the platform that the Honorable Mlala is also not well. I'm sure you are not scaring us who are arriving on this week in Cape Town, because I know you guys were in Cape Town last week. That's on the lighter note. That's what Honorable Mlala would have raised in the platform. I just thought so that we don't think there's no participation of numbers. I would now give them to clarify the points raised by members, and probably after that we'll then follow up on matters that members may still think need to be addressed. Deputy Minister, you would give an indication whether you would want to come down before or
No, maybe just thank you very much, Chairperson. I will ask the acting DG, especially on some of the clarities that members wanted, especially what Honorable Kubeka was asking on the appointment of the interim board, the issue of whether the administrator and others are still there and so on. And then other members of the executive from SASA will then deal with operational things. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. And the department and the entity can then proceed. I'm sure you'd make necessary arrangement with that. Please proceed.
A very good morning to the Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Nontobela Jordan Gyane, the Acting DG at the Department. Thank you very much to the DM for allowing us then to clarify. The two questions posed by Honourable Kubeka as well as Honourable Fandam regarding the status of the board vis-a-vis the caretaker. Just to then indicate to the Honourable Members that the interim board, which is in place, is the replacing the executive caretaker. Honourable Members, you will recall that last year, at the beginning of the year, Cabinet had approved for the executive caretakers, both at USASA as well as CETA. And the intent, as Honourable Fandam has indicated, was to reposition. But as we are working towards the finalisation of the new state digital service company, as well as the establishment of a digital development and challenge fund, which is then going to replace USASA. Our Honourable Members, in then the department assessing progress from USASA, there was rather concerns with regards to the decline in terms of the performance of the organization. It was at that juncture that then the decision was made to then replace and terminate then the contract of the executive caretaker. And in with this that then the intent was to go back in terms of what the ECA intends, where then the minister appoints a board or an interim board. So the interim board was then appointed, The board itself consists of just getting the names. The board itself consists of the following. The chairperson, Ms. Zugiswa Kularanto, as well as Ms. Mapuleng Morapa, who were serving at the previous board, Mr. Simpiwe Tobela, Mr. Taleni Ramau, as well apologies for muting. And it is therefore then the board that would set up the appropriate governance structures. I will leave that matter up to the board in terms of the status thereof, in as far as then filling in, as it was indicated, the vacancies, as well as establishing the relevant committees, fiduciary committees, which are critical. The process with us is that we're taking the Digital Development Fund proposal to Cabinet for its approval and consideration, and thereafter it will then be tabled to Parliament for its processing as well as consideration. That is the reason, therefore, honourable members, why we are then terming it as an interim board, because it is for the duration up until such time that we establish the new Digital Development and Challenge Fund. Honourable members, I'm not so sure if, I'm just trying to check in terms of the other questions. I'm hoping that I've therefore explained the reasons for the replacement of the executive caretaker, as well as then the current status of this interim board. Thank you very much.
Chair, can I come in? There's one board member that Ms. Nongobela has left, who is Ms. Buhle Tonisi. She is also part of the board. Thank you very much.
Oh, apologies. I thought I did mention. Thank you very much, Chair. Yes, Ms. Buhle Tonisi, I thought I had mentioned her as well after Mr. Taleni Ramau. My apologies.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Chairperson, let me try to attempt to answer the questions that were posed by Honorable Mackenzie. Then I will go to those that were posed by Honorable Fandame, then to Honorable Kubega. And also I'm going to request my fellow ExCo members that are part of this meeting as well to assist me with regards to some of the questions that were posed. The first question that was asked by Honorable Mackenzie, it's relating now to the area of USASA providing the broadband connectivity. In this instance, then he made a specific reference to LA local municipality. Yes, indeed, during that financial year, what happened was that because the ECA allows USASA, in particular in those areas which are classified as underserved, that we can actually go through a competitive bidding process and try to then provide such communities with connectivity. Now, management at the time as well, they took into consideration the objectives of the Act, where now they were seeking to ensure that your small, medium enterprises are also part of the ICT landscape, and as such our model, we were more giving preference to a small medium enterprise than going and taking an established operator. Now when men they were appointed to roll out for both Butare and in Mpumalanga, in a municipality of Chief Albert Luthuli municipality. Now, what happened was that this particular service provider did roll out the infrastructure, but whilst that infrastructure was being rolled out, and there was some leadership change within the agency. Of course, when there's leadership change, of course, normally a new broom sweeps clean. So there was that delay that now, because this service provider has just run out infrastructure, and now there were outstanding payments. And when now the new CEO as well came on board, there were some challenges. That's why that infrastructure was in that state. But subsequent to the visit by the portfolio committee to Mutale and also to Mpumalanga, we have then worked very closely with ICASA trying to resolve some of the things that were identified during that visit. And as such, that particular municipality, then they were both connected. Now, the challenge that we have a limited funding, because if you look at to the underserved areas, normally they are supposed to be connected for a longer period until such time that maybe that municipality, its socio-economic status, it improves and it's able as well to take over that connectivity. This is why as well management at the time, we reached a conclusion to say that we'll only connect for a period of 2 years so that we are able as well to afford other municipalities, whilst we were hoping that the anchor clients like your Department of Education, where we are connecting schools, and the Department of Health, where we have connected health facilities, and municipality itself will ultimately take over that connectivity. As this stands now, that particular like Meng from Mpumalanga and Mutale, both municipalities, they are not connected. Now, from the management side, because we have gone through a process of remodeling our broadband, and we wanted firstly to give, you know, this model for a year an opportunity to see how it will work, because we are now buying a service, and we were hoping that now that the municipalities that we have connected previously would then be connected using the similar model. Then there was a question that was also posed now on the lack of cooperation by SAPO, whilst at the same time there was also now a lack of monitoring that is highlighted in the report. Now, let me start firstly with SAPO. SAPO is a third party, meaning SAPO is appointed by the agency to assist in terms of now logistics and distribution of set-top boxes, but at the same time, they were managing the installers. Now, SAPO in terms of the SLA side, because they are managing the infant, now they are supposed to keep accurate records to say that these are the boxes that were received from the manufacturers, and these are the boxes that can still be dispersed to this qualifying household, and the staff are given this qualifying a household, this kind of an STB and this kind of an antenna, and that it needs to correspond with the ID, and it needs to correspond as well in terms of the appointed installer, and there must be now a proof to say that this, it has been installed and it has been paid for. Now, SAPO couldn't manage to keep the accurate record. And as such now, when they were called upon by management to say that, can you account on specific things, this is where now they, we said lack of cooperation, because when now management decided to do an open review, review process. The post office requested that can we then get an independent party to be the one that doing this open review process in order to ascertain now the values there and the number of STBs. Then coming to the lack of monitoring. Here, lack of monitoring, it means that if you have appointed a third party, still it's still your responsibility as the entity to monitor, meaning that internally we were supposed now to, on weekly basis, to reconcile all the inventory against the installation and the payments, and that process internally as well. It was not a process that was followed to the T, and this is why we then said that it's lack of monitoring. Then in terms of the quantum and how many STBs, I will ask my fellow executives as well, the CFO and also the acting chief internal auditor will come in. And with regards to the question of consequence management, for now there were people that were suspended, but however the process of now disciplinaries, they are yet to take place. And also what I'm going to request is that if we are by the chairperson and by the department, we can actually write back and provide an extensive response, in particular on consequence management. And when it comes to the SIU investigations, we don't have any related SIU investigations. The only investigations that are done now by the agency is they are coordinated by our internal audit through National Treasury, where now the forensic investigation, firstly on the broadband that was rolled out in OR, a district terminal by a service provider called Whitewave. Then there's another investigation as well relating to the rollout of the SAP ERP system that is in place. And then there's another forensic investigation as well that now it's looking into the SAPO, but also the colleagues will also add further in terms of other investigations that are taking place. Then regarding to the area of bursaries and the area of legal impediments, in particular with Lara Dadima, can we also request that permission to say that we will need to submit a written response in this regard, because the acting executive for corporate services is not part of this meeting, and so is the legal manager, but he is not part of this. And lastly, there was now a question as well, in fact a comment on issues of documents that were sent and with glaring spelling mistakes. From management side, the annual reports, we have solicited the services of an experienced service provider called Yes Direct, and all the reports that we have and the reports that were sent to Parliament, they were PDF'd and they were done by a professional entity. That's why also we're going to request as well from Mr. McKenzie's side just to share with us the reports, because the ones that were sent, everything, it was on PDF. Then coming now to the questions, in fact the comments from Honorable Van Damme on USASA, that we always report on non-achievement. With this one, I must be honest that indeed when it comes to the critical activities that the agency has achieved, in most instances, we always found ourselves of not able to achieve. And this is also attributed as well to the leadership instability. If you can also look at the USASA audit reports or the management letters, even the AGSA picked up the issue of instability. What will happen is that you will find that beginning of the financial year, we have a board and the CEO and executives. And for quarter one, quarter two, you will see that the performance trends that you see for quarter one, everything is achieved. Then you go to quarter two, then from quarter three and four, you'll find that there's some key suspensions and you find that even the captain itself is not there. So all those things, they also impact on the organization's ability to execute, in particular the key performance indicators, because there's certain decisions that needs to be done. And if now, in particular at CEO level or executive management, you have people that are not staying for a longer period, and also from the board, now you will find that in terms of now executing and overseeing either the key performance indicators being monitored throughout the year, that normally does not happen. So there's various things that makes USASA not to achieve. And coming to the questions that were asked by Honorable Kubega, the first one, the two areas that we didn't achieve that she wanted us to mention. The first one, it was relating to the installations of set-top boxes to the qualifying households. And Honorable Kubega, you will recall that in the previous sitting, I think last year, there was where the committee asked us about the appointment of Centec. Yes, indeed, now what we have since done, we have appointed Centec to be our installation partner, whilst at the same time, the post office is still on board. But what we have since done now, we are now working very close with the DCDG PMO office, while at the same time, the colleagues in the oversight branch in the department and also the DG now, they have now started as well trying to ensure that there's proper coordination between Centec, SAPO, and all the entities that are involved in the value chain for BBM. And also now there's a coordinated plan that the department is driving it. And as such now, we are required to report on a weekly basis, and also we've got the steering committee meetings that they are monitoring the progress with regard to the coming now to the issue of also the broadband that you had asked, that as to are we still going to proceed in reconnecting Jomoroloam and Rakong. With this, we have revised our delivery model, and we were hoping firstly to look as to now, because we are buying services, we are not rolling out infrastructure, as to how this process is going to pan out. And if it delivers the results that we are hoping to achieve, then this is when now other outstanding municipalities now, they will be connected to that model. And as well from our side as well, we have since now improved our coordination in terms of now working very closely with the department, because you've got the infrastructure branch that coordinates the SA Connect and the specifications there and certain requirements that the service provider must conform to before that service provider can be appointed. And also, they've got some monitoring mechanisms that they are using to ensure there's a delivery. And now we have since synergized our processes, whilst at the same time, we have also improved our relations with ICASA so that we are able, when it comes to the key issues pertaining to services, we will know what are the regulatory requirements there and what are the things that we need to comply to. So that now is going to assist us ensuring that when we roll out that service, at least the department and the ICASA, they are able to assist us as well in monitoring that provision of the broadband. But let me also request my other colleagues as well, if there's any comment or any input that they want to ask. Thank you.
I would be responding. May I just check, Honorable Mbele, are you raising a point of order?
No, Chair, I'm just raising my hand for the next round of questions.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's allow them to respond if that was still responding. I note you for the next round. Thank you. Proceed, Sassoon, for those who want to come. My honourable members.
Yes, Chair.
Yes, Chair.
But I thought that Mr. Mwabisa was asking the others to add, so I was just giving them the opportunity to proceed if there is any, so that then I take the next round of questions.
Good morning, Chairperson. I think Mr. Mwabisa covered most points, and the absence, as you said, that of the internal audit and corporate service who would then deal with the matters around the consequence management, also including the discrepancies of the 53 million that's sitting in SAPO that is unaccounted for. So that we will respond in writing. Thank you, Chairperson.
Right, may I then take other members who just want to make follow-up or new questions. I had noted Honorable Mbele. You can proceed whilst I check on the other hands.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson. My question is just a single one, and it comes from having sort of digested and processed all the inputs we've been getting from the presentation as well as the first round of questions, because I was trying to really analyze and distill down to what are the sort of core critical issues or dynamics at play here. And Honourable Mackenzie, I think, started to sort of hint and nudge at that in one or two of his questions. But it sounds to me that there's really an issue here around the contract monitoring and management and evaluation. Because as was said by one of the colleagues from USASA, is that it's in very few instances that they themselves are the implementing agency or are carrying out the work at the interface, right? and I was seeing in the section of the annual report that I think Honorable McKenzie was referring to, that there's a lot of these similar phrases coming up that talk about lack of contract management of service providers. Similarly, there's something here about failure to monitor the service level agreements with SACO. And there was also an issue raised in one of the inputs, if I recall correctly, about how with one of the contracted companies, after the contract was awarded, it was only then discovered that they weren't properly licensed or something along those lines, and therefore it was stopped because it would have been irregular expenditure. So clearly there's a problem here around the whole contracts design, contracts awarding, contracts monitoring. And to a degree, say, I do appreciate some of the complexities around that arena, because in my very first job out of varsity, I was a performance monitoring and evaluation officer for an NGO, and I know how one can lose a few details here and there if you're dealing with a large amount of data that you're trying to, or partners that you're trying to monitor. So I appreciate at a base level the difficulties around performance monitoring and evaluation, but this seems to be the core issue, and therefore my very simple question is, in some clarity and some detail, which I don't think I've heard, I don't think I've heard from USASA, what is being done? What are the core, the key interventions being done to address that area of lack? If it's a staffing issue, if it's a training issue, if it's an ICT issue, so you have the database and a dashboard to make it easier and more streamlined to do that monitoring and that management, what is actually being done to address that issue so that a year later, or in a year's time, we aren't hearing, oh no, another contract was delayed, another contract wasn't adequately monitored, we weren't able to provide the data to the auditor general because, you know, blah, blah, blah. So what are those key interventions being done to address that specific performance area, and what assurance can we get that this will indeed be seen through effectively? Thank you, Chair.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Just a comment, if I can. In this this post-Wuhan virus era, where we meet digitally, I remember before this virus struck us, when we would meet physically in Parliament, that the delegations from the entities were spilling over the room. There were so many people that attended. Perhaps it was the flight down or the hotel accommodation. Who can say? But the room was full of people, and we never had anyone sitting in that room that wasn't capable of answering questions. It now seems to be almost par for the course that when we meet as a committee on a digital platform, which all it requires, as Mr. Frick Niemann showed us, is a phone at the bottom of your garden. You can make it a point to attend. You can bring a delegation. Doesn't matter the size of the delegation. It can be 40 people, but you can have your whole organization sitting here listening to the committee and ready to answer the questions. So none of my questions have been answered satisfactorily. We're assured we'll get them in writing. But that really isn't how the committee should work. We should have this information flow back and forth. So I can ask you a question, you can answer the question, you can give me a response, I can interrogate your response satisfactorily until I get the information I require. So this thing of submitting answers in writing, Chairperson, with respect, I understand time constraints, like the last meeting, but this one, frankly, I don't accept that as a solution. And I would request that the Chair comment on that quite strongly. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable McKenzie, Honourable Fontaine, I recognise.
Thanks, Chair. I'd like to echo Honourable McKenzie on the what has now become quite a standard response to difficult questions is that we'll respond in writing. Members of Parliament have the ability to submit questions in writing if we so seek through parliamentary questions. These meetings are an opportunity, as he said, for us to ask questions and be able to interrogate that. If the person is unable to answer their question, then they must contact someone to give them that information. It is quite unsatisfactory that we must wait for written questions. We can submit written questions if we want. In these meetings, we would like those verbal responses so we can interrogate the information. Now, I'm still not understanding it. The CEO of mentioned that leadership instability is part of the reason why targets are not being met. So that confusion is obviously impacting on the ability for USASA to do their job. I still do not understand the matter which Honorable, an Honorable colleague mentioned about the fact that what is happening with the administrator, then the interim board, and then the response from the acting DG was that this was because of the establishment of a digital fund, which still doesn't answer the question as to spoken about. What is the digital fund? What is it aimed for? If I understand, it will be submitted to cabinet and then provided to us, as the acting DG said, but I think it's important for us to understand how that impacts USASA and CETA and first administrator, because they're going to be rationalized, their normal boards, and now there's an interim board. So if she could just give us a little bit more detail about this fund, how is it going to be managed, what is it for, has money been allocated to it, if she could just give us a little bit more detail. And I'm still, once again, I must repeat this, because I really, really believe we must draw the line in the sand. The minister needs to be here to explain decisions that are made that relate to those entities, especially when there's an about turn, a major about turn. She should be able to take us into confidence and explain this. So, Chair, please, in the same way that Honorable Mackenzie recorded that we can't continue with written responses, I would like to please that the committee, and you, through you, Chairperson, makes it clear that we need the Minister available for these meetings. She can't hide behind the Deputy Minister. So I'm still not understanding why the about turn on the administrator and the NOAA board, and what that has anything to do with the digital fund, and also just a little bit more detail about this digital fund and what it's for and how much is going to be allocated, just so we can have the information before it's sent to cabinet, and then provided to us in full. This is once again I'm saying on the minister, but just the question on the deputy minister, the question about the Telkom interdict, if she's able to respond to that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Fandao. May I just check, Deputy Minister, on the part of the interdict, if you don't want to say anything at this point, and I'll just clarify one or two things before we get to the other responses that members would want us to speak to.
I'm fine, Chair, let's allow the executives and the DG to respond on some of those things. Thank you.
Can we then get responses quickly, and I would want to then come in after that. Yes, sir.
Chairperson, let me first start with the response by Honorable Mele on issues of contract management, and also I'm going to request the CFO, Frick Nima, as well, to come on board. But internally now, what has since happened is that we have since now organized ourselves that if, like, there's a contracting, or there's going to be a contract that needs to be signed. Previously, things were not going through audit. Well, for instance, the internal audit will just look into the contract as well as risk management. Now, we have since now improved on our combined assurances, and as such now, if there's a contract in place, there's normally a committee that is established to look into that contract, and those contracts now, they are normally also presented to EXCO, whereas previously a contract will just be done. Like, for instance, there will be just a contracting from a BAC to the CEO, and depending to the delegation of authority, then go to board. By this time around, there's that integrated approach on things. So it's something that management now has paid our attention to. In particular, if you check now the new contracting, like when it comes to the contract of Centec, various people within the business with different expertise, they were also requested to comment and do input. And also now, you have now, immediately after contracting, a steering committee which does oversight, and on certain periods they will sit with the service provider, and you invite your risk internal audit. We look at the accuracy of reporting. We look at, you know, at the risk register, what are things that need to be mitigated and what needs to be done. And so in terms of now project management, we are to some extent improving now. But with other questions to me, there were more of comments that for where I'm sitting, they can be either be answered by other colleagues or the department. But I will also call upon all other colleagues just in case there's something I've missed.
Yes, proceed.
Thank you, Chair. I think on the contract management component, CIPO has mentioned what the organization has been undertaken to do, and together with on the monitoring and evaluation, for example, now we are sending teams on the ground to do oversight over and above to the assurance we are provided by Centec, who is our installation company. We are also doing our own internal dashboarding and database management in order to reconcile, to the sort of data that we receive from our service provider. One of the reasons why we had employed Centec was that they have a tool and a monitoring sort of capability that we are able to do on our end without any intervention from them. But in the absence, I think Centec is still developing that. So in the absence of that, we are doing our own dashboards. We are also managing the database and just sending teams to ensure that there is oversight and there's monitoring and evaluation on the work that is done. And that has resulted in us being able to ask Centec to go back into some of the towns that they claim to have concluded, but quality assurance wasn't fully completed. So to go back and just ensure that quality assurance is done and the monitoring and of the entire household is also done. So that those are the mechanisms that the organization has put in place, seeing that there is indeed a lack of capability previously. So we've addressed those by putting these measures in place. And regarding the questions that are not answered, it's really to my surprise that the key people, the executive, the executive auditor, and the executive of corporate services weren't invited in this meeting, because those reports, because of the sensitivity of the information there and the potential risking of this information that they hold regarding the employees who were suspended. Those are things that I myself in operations am not privy to because of the sensitivity, as I've said. So that information is there. The colleagues have put it together. They have in committees with the board to take through the board what has happened with regards to consequence management. About 9 employees were put on suspension because linking it directly to the discrepancies of stock missing that happened at Apple. So those are currently sitting with, I know that the colleagues were working on a charge sheet for those employees. I just don't know how long the process is and where the process is, simply because the in-committee, those are privy to the in-committee only. Thank you.
And then from USASA, that's in Pure Tobela. You can proceed. Yes. Thank you.
Yes, good morning, Chair, and honorable members, colleagues from the interim board and the executive and management from USASA. The board is the interim board, as you may be aware, is fairly new, hardly 2 weeks. But I think it is important to indicate to the members that I just want to comment on two issues that I think are very important: the contracts management and the monitoring and evaluation function. It is indeed very correct for the honourable members to spot that as a major problem. This is a problem that, from day one when we got reports as the interim board, we spotted that and we saw that this is a major problem. There is a serious deficiency in terms of contract management. Part of what contributes to that contract management, Honourable Chair, is that you would, Ms. Matikizela just mentioned now, we were informed that the function of supply chain, for example, is quite limping because there is quite a lot of suspensions. In terms of the Public Finance Management Act, the contracts management function is supposed to be sitting at the SCM as not on an ad hoc basis. It should be one of those standing issues, particularly when we manage a large contract in value and number. And that doesn't appear to have been the situation. And that's what one of the things with the committees that have just been established of the interim board would be looking into quite quickly to turn that thing around. The second thing is that on the suspensions, from the quality assurance point of view, you would also be aware that, maybe not aware, sorry, it would be proper to share with the members, that we are aware that the senior audit executive as well is on suspension. So from a quality assurance point of view, there seems to be issues that are there as well. and therefore it's a matter that we are indeed focusing on in the first committee meetings that we're going to be having. It is going to be precisely to deal with those specific matters that we have heard from the reports that we have seen, which then includes a process of how do we fast track the suspensions the whole DC process, because the longer people sit in suspension and the more burden it puts on the organization, because you have people that are acting in various positions, and it is untenable that you would have a few people sitting at home earning salaries and a few that are at work and taking their whole load of others that are not at work. It's a major issue that we are indeed as an interim board focusing on to turn around, which is why amongst other things we moved in on our first week, as we were aware that there is no CEO appointed and acting CEO, because some of the things that are not happening which impact on performance are precisely because nobody has been taking responsibility on things that must be done and signed off and payments and so on, which is why on our first week we had to focus on that particular matter, and which we have dealt with already. We then are going to be looking at below the CEO to see how do we respond to other issues of capacity that are a challenge in the organization. Lastly, the issue about the monitoring and evaluation, the members are spot on once more, that if you don't have a monitoring and evaluation function that's going to be on an ongoing basis, we will be spending money that is not creating value, and therefore that would be against the law that we'll spend money and not be able to show a value that has been created. I think it's a matter that we will also be looking into as to how do we on an ongoing basis ensure that linked to the contract management, we therefore make a follow-up on ensuring that there is monitoring and evaluation and a function which is not an ad hoc function, but rather a function that should be a standing function on all the areas where we have spent public money, and it should be proven that a value has been derived out of that. I think it's a responsibility of the board that we are on in single mind as a board that we need to be focusing on those areas. I thought, Chair, probably it's important that we must make a point about those from an interim board point of view, that we have picked up some of these matters, both from the human resource point of view and the performance point of view, which is impacted on by the inadequacies in the human resource function. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tabela. Honorable members, I'm just not so honorable from down because your hand was up before even Mr. Tabela would have spoken, whether it's still at the time you wanted to speak or you were raising a point before one.
No, it was my support. I lowered my hand.
Well, thank you, Honourable Funder. But in that score, Honourable Members, I see that Honourable Farko, who I reported, was struggling with connection. I'm not sure if also it's an old hand or she wants to speak. Honourable Farko. You are still muted, Honorable Fago. Okay, I take it that probably it's still the connection problem. What I want to put forward, Honorable Members, is that indeed when an entity comes before the committee, it's an opportunity for members to engage through questions and also get responses in a way that empowers us as members to also speak with confidence as we get to the constituencies that we serve, because we are in informed and we have interrogated the information set with us. And in this case, I think what you are trying to raise is a point of dissatisfaction that an entity would come and then would have to agree to get written responses because people who needed to come before the meeting are not part of a delegation. I think that's something I hear you to be raising. But you are also not saying necessarily that where you've made follow-ups, we shouldn't get such information in writing. And in any way, where you are not happy with such responses, then the next engagement should be able to help us look at that. So I take you to be saying that. So as I said, because I want us to move to some closure on this point, I would allow the department, because I've tried to check Honorable Faku, it seems that connection problem is still there, but her hand is up. So if Honorable Faku, I'm giving you again a chance, wanted to speak. So it would appear that you can't get Honorable Faku, so I'll then give the department to make its responses and then make some acting DG.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, as well as to the members. Chairperson, with your permission, I'd like to answer the two questions that were posed. The first one was on the interdict. The department issued a statement yesterday. Firstly, I think we're still studying the judgment. Chair, I think all of us as a country are rather quite worried of the implications, certainly, purely because of the delays this would have in terms of the country's agenda. As government, obviously, we're relying heavily on the auction of the spectrum. But more than anything else, also for the sector, I think the spectrum is very critical towards the achieving our socio-economic development. And we wouldn't want South Africa to be left behind, Chair. The spectrum that is now supposed to be released, and as well as the release of the licensing of the WAN, was going to seek to achieve the issues related to the transformation of the sector, expanding also the participation, especially with regard to the disadvantaged groups, as well as women, as we celebrated the International Women's Day yesterday. So the broadening of the participation is very critical and needed, and we're hoping that with that, Chair, we could also address that the issues related to closing those digital access gaps, as we know that there's still vast areas in our country that is not yet provided with the necessary coverage to enable it then to be able to be part of the main economic sectors. And so, Chair, the minister is still facilitating an engagement amongst all parties to seek to see if we cannot resolve this matter outside of court. It is very critical, Chair, and at the same time, equally, the department, as it has been reported by our colleagues from USASA, is prioritizing the issue of the completion of the migration so that we can then free up the spectrum. I've set up a project management office and we are meeting as a team in the department daily and also then widely with all the implementing agencies weekly. Chair, I think in our last engagement there was then the request to say that we must update the portfolio committee, which we are committed to doing that. We are finalizing the first report, which then will be sent through to your office.
Chairperson, Honourable Van Dam asked the issue with regards to the establishment of the Digital Development Fund. I want to apologise to her if perhaps then my answer initially was not comprehensive. I'd like to, Chairperson, with your permission, just to quickly go through the Digital Development Fund, its purpose and its intent. You will recall, Chairperson and Honourable Van Dam, that in 2016, the National Integrated ICT Policy White Paper was adopted. That paper was intended, again, for the transformation of South Africa towards an inclusive and innovative digital and knowledge society. The policy white paper proposed several institutional arrangements, which Honorable Van Dam has alluded to. This talked to, in the main, as she had indicated, the establishment of new digital state entities, the Digital Infrastructure Fund, the Digital Infrastructure Company, which is basically going to be an aggregation of all our digital infrastructure assets, in the main focusing on BBI as well as Centec, but we're also looking at also those other infrastructure gaps that are sitting with other state entities such as ESCOM, SANRAL, and PRASA. So we'd want to aggregate that. The other one also talks to then the digital service company. This is again repositioning CETA, as Honorable Fatam has indicated, for it then to become a broader service company, as well as ensuring that it also stimulates innovation in the country. There is also then the institutional proposal with regards to an integrated new competitions regulator or a regulator that is going to be repositioned. We're still working on this to ensure that it is more responsive to the market. Chairperson, we then also established a proposal to establish the Digital Development Challenge Fund, which basically is going to look at the revision and as well as therefore the dissolution of the Universal Service Access Fund, as well as then the reconfiguration of the Universal Service and Access Agency of South Africa, which is USASA. So this new fund, as I was indicated, that we've done a business case and we're now tabling it to Cabinet this month, its mandate would be to focus on co-financing of projects, looking both of public and private sector. Now, this is currently partially being done under the Section 89 of the ECA, where you have contributions by the licensees. But our intent is to say, as it is now addressing broadly innovation issues for IR implementation, also seeking to support SME development, ensuring that as a country we're very much so focused on enterprise as well as localization, and also boosting digital skills. We therefore is a proposal to say we need to review the current percentage increase. At the moment it's only 0.2% to perhaps another, as we are still discussing that particular percentage with National Treasury, but also to then make this dual obligation wider than the current licensees, as the intent is obviously then looking at its wider mandate. And so we are looking in terms of broadening the scope, inclusive of all those companies as well as licensees working in the space of 4IR. And the intent is therefore to really boost South Africa, making it competitive for us then to be able to produce local platforms as well as innovation, and to also then increase and address them issues related to R&D investment as well as innovation and in the space. So that is the intent, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, on the Digital Development and Challenge Fund. we are hoping that, as I indicated, that with Cabinet, that it can be introduced to Parliament for its consideration in this year. And they're hoping, therefore, to leave it then in the capable hands of the Honourable Members and to see, hopefully, that we can have it operational by the next financial year, which will be 2022. So, Chair, as I said, then the new Digital Development Fund will operate as a Section 3A of a public entity under the Public Finance Management Act. And this will basically, therefore, that's why we are introducing the changes to the and amending the Electronic Communications Act to then respond to this. And this, therefore, disestablishes USASA and looking at the repurposing and renaming of USAS, or the USAS, into this fund. Chair, I also wanted to indicate that we have communicated this, that the staff that are there at USASA will certainly, we're assuring of them in terms of the job certainty, as in terms of when once we've established this, and therefore they will either be absorbed in this new agency, this new fund, or alternatively absorbed in the department. But we are, depending on their skills, but we're giving that assurance as then government to ensure that there will be no job losses. But we're hoping that we will be working with the private sector to really offset this fund. We've seen it work in other markets and other areas, and we're hoping that we'll be able to achieve the same for South Africa. I do apologize for having taken long, but I do hope then that my response has clarified then the issue with the Honourable Members. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, DG. Maybe before one makes the summary, just go back to the point. I just want to be sure that I heard you properly so that I don't miss the point in the summary. Are you saying that the rapid response team for BDM has now been established? Are you saying that from a point of governance, that we now have the interim board at USASA? Because that's also directly linked to whether we'll be able to carry out the project or not. So I just want to hear you well on that so that in summarizing what we think should be done going forward at this point.
No, thank you, Chair, and I'm glad that you're clarifying that. Chair, as you know, we had tasked USASA as the project manager for this. They are currently, and I did indicate earlier, they're currently busy with the recruitment. But Chair, because the President has made an announcement with regards to the fact that we must have concluded on the analog switch off by 31st March 2022, we are working with the team members that are currently there. And as I indicated, the various stakeholders would be Centec, who are assisting with the installation, as well as obviously the switch off and then SAPO is also in the main, also looking at the distribution of the stock that is currently at SAPO, as well as assisting with the registration. As I indicated, that USASA is then leading on that. They are still in the process, if I'm not mistaken, of recruiting the district coordinators. As in the department, Chair, we have officials who have been working on this in terms of a PMO on the digital broadcasting. So it is that current team which is being addressed in terms of adding resources because of the magnitude of what we have to do. So, Chair, I just want to clarify then that we don't have the full staff complement as yet, nor then in terms of from a head perspective, I think USASA will be best positioned to then address in terms of the district coordinators as well as the head office. But because we have to fast track the implementation, we cannot wait for then the appointment of those people. We are trying to get things moving in the interim. Thank you, Chair. I hope I've clarified the point.
I'm not clarified. My question is very specific, I think, DG, because it's informed report in the previous meeting, which whose minutes were approved previously, where the time period, understanding this directive from the president in terms of SONA, with timelines, we have agreed with what the minister would have seen as a problem, which is what you are alluding to, that as things stand, you do not have the capacity required for USASA to deliver on this directive. And for that reason, two matters, the government's intervention in USASA, that was to be forecasted 2 weeks at the time. Secondly, a rapid response team, so that the reliance is not on the USASA that has got less capacity, if I want to use the words of the minister. It was to ensure that we did not get to the point where we would blame those that are in leadership position, which is what we agree to, when entities don't deliver, and therefore certain actions needed to be taken. And in this regard, it was this appointment which was to be approved, and therefore there were governance issues again, which was the board, and we appreciate that the interim board represents that aspect. So I want us to be clear on this, because it's not like there was no team. There's been a team before, including the department entity oversight unit. However, these challenges were there. But given the time that we need to deliver on BDM now, then there were these two issues raised. So if you can be very specific in answering the question, do we now have a rapid response team dedicated to this BDM program? And if still to be approved, at least indicate that that's the case. As I say, it's important for the summary that we need to make so that we do not repeat the resolutions we've taken in the previous meeting, but rather monitor the implementation of those resolutions. I hope you've heard me.
Yes, Chair, I have. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. And the answer, straightforward, is we're still in the process of the recruitment. Chair, it hasn't yet been finalized. Thank you.
No, thanks, PDG. Honourable members, I still see Honourable Fako's hand up. I take it that it's a problem on their side not to be able to lower the hand. I want us to make the following as a way of trying to close the discussion on this matter. Firstly, there are those matters that we may probably need to remind ourselves as the committee. The issue that relates to repurposing or reconfiguration. As the committee were presented with this, including some milestones, of which one of them was to put the two departments together and have the department that we call the DCDT from the 1st of April last year. But I think what is being emphasized is a point that says we probably need to get progress reports more often on where that process is, so that as the reports would come through, we would not regard it as a new process that excludes the committee. And I think Honorable Van Damme could have come across like that, where it's like we don't know what this fund is and so on. But the reality of the matter is the committee was presented with some roadmap, and as I said, with some timelines set in matters, of which one was that of the department coming together as TCDT, and the timelines were met in that regard. But with the others, it's a matter that we must continue to get updates. And that's what we raised in previous meetings, honorable members. So I'm raising it so that it's not left only to the minister on that one, but the committee should remind itself of its own decisions and what come before the committee. I also say that, honorable members, what is clear is that there are matters that would be long-term given the timelines we have been given, that probably the funds, according to what the NPDC has reported to the committee, will be a matter of 2022, the financial year at that time. And I'm making the assumption, therefore, that she's trying to indicate that that's post-March 2022, so it's not the 2021-2022 one. And that being the case, therefore, it means there are certain things that must happen in the interim. One being that at least the board, having understood what the challenges are, they should be able to give at least a sense of what their plan is to the committee with clear timelines, understanding the commitment made that we should be having a switch off by March next year. So I think that's important to do that from the point of the board, whether it's filling in of vacancies and so on, but also the readiness to work with such a response a team so that we do not have governance challenges post the implementation of the program. And that is the committee would have to get regular reports because this is one of those priority projects that we said would not be adding to the 10 years of non-implementation on this project in particular. And that our monitoring through our oversight work should help unblock blockages and that there can be implementation in this regard. Understanding its importance in the whole question of the demand spectrum release that we are looking forward to. So I think it's important that we have clarity in it. The other issue to explore as the department, I've listened to you what you are proposing with regard to the fund. The question is whether some aspects cannot be addressed in the interim. Because when you look at the report that we have processed, on the side of USASA, over a period of time, performance has dropped due to capacity problems. But you'll also see that on the USAF, they also have a history of not delivering. And surely reading between the lines, it's quite clear that once you are a fund and you try to be an executor of your own project again, you are likely going to suffer non-performance because the required skills may not be there as demonstrated by the reports. Because if you present something and management says it doesn't make sense technically, and therefore a particular area suffers from internet connectivity, then you must know then there is a problem. So in the interim, as I said, it's something to look at whether indeed, as part of the capacity building exercise, even with USASA, whether the required resources could not be put where they are supposed to be so that the fund can really focus on funding the projects than to try and execute what technically may not be in their purview. And that from where one is sitting, honorable members, would then demonstrate serious commitment in meeting deadlines. Serious commitment in meeting deadlines. We still had questions that were not answered previously, which have not come through. That whilst we deal with these reports, including quarter two, that's why I said let's give it that context, is that the quarter four is ending in 2 weeks. So which means the end of the financial year. So are we not going to have a repeat of some of the things that we said are a problem in the previous financial year? And the typical example which we'll continue to put on the table is whether would anyway have the IDTVs that we're supposed to put up as the financial year comes to an end, and whether there is some guarantee that post this financial year, Treasury would have still come back and said, yes, you will still have the money, because we understood that money was indeed interest made at a particular point, and therefore that interest was to be released to assist as an intervention because of also the budget cuts from the fiscal allocation. Now, if we've missed that opportunity, we still have to say whether it would be there or not. And I'm saying these are matters of the interim. They may not wait for the introduction of the reconfigured USASA-USAF next year. So we should be clear on that. And again, when I say clear, it's also honest answers to members of parliament when things are not possible and reasons why those things could not be possible when everything else would have been done to ensure that that happens. So I think it's important that we leave the meeting with that very clear. And I want to say that we do welcome, of course, that you move quicker on the long-term reconfiguration. But as I said, we would need reports in that regard. And this should also not mean we do not appreciate the presentation made. Now I'm addressing the point raised earlier on, that at least it is known that if you are to present these reports before the committee, there would be questions that the committee would ask and want answers on them. And that you'll have to ensure that relevant people who need to respond to such questions, because they are based on what you have in the presentation, that they are present. So that it doesn't also leave an impression of dysfunctionality in the minds of the members, because there would be reasonable expectation that from a point of reporting lines and so on, at least the higher echelons of the entity will be really having their hand on the pulse of the entity, so they would know what is happening within the entity. So I think we shouldn't repeat that twice. Welcome that you send the information in writing, but usually in the interaction, even other matters that may be lost in the writing language could be better clarified through verbal interaction with people that are supposed to deal with matters. And I think this is something I want to leave with all of us, that areas where we are supposed to deliver, whether it is broadband, whether it is about BDM, which are now two key areas that have been identified by the State of the Nation Address. I think you should be understanding, as both the department and the entities, that indeed when the books are fine, that there are savings because we couldn't appoint people that we're supposed to appoint to deliver. And that there are savings because the project that needed to be implemented, only 0.27% of that project was implemented. It may be that the accountant may be happy to have made savings because then the bank balance is good. But from a project management point of view, we must know that there's then a big problem, that our planning may come under question. But at the end, it is not about only those that are delivering the project, but those who must benefit from the service that gets delivered. So if, for example, you get to that municipality in the Northwest and say, we've connected you, you'll have internet connection, they see that as an empowerment. You are addressing digital divide and so on. But if the infrastructure is there, but they cannot make use of it, the bigger challenge you have is that they would not see the reason why, in the first place, government invested in such a program, which does not benefit them at the end. So I think we should also leave with that message, that whilst we must have financial prudency, but indeed with service delivery areas, it's never about how much has been saved from non-performance. But at least you should be saying, if you have saved money, it is because you've been able to stretch the rent, that it gives you what you want but still save. But if the savings are on the basis that we didn't perform on the areas that impact positively on the lives of people out there, we should all be worried. And I think that's the attitude we should be having. So I want to say, honorable members, to close at that point so that we are able to then follow through on the decisions that we have taken. And this committee has already resolved on that. And I hope our support staff is beginning to work on that. That for every quarter, when we do our program, in the first week of that quarter, would have a focus on tracking the resolutions we've taken in the previous quarters, on whether those have been acted upon, especially those who coordinate the diaries of ministers in that school, that the committee is also prioritized. So I'm saying, at least I thought we would have agreed, because specifically I have said I didn't hear any objection to that, and I took it to be the meeting's point. Thanks, Honorable Fandom. The department, as I said, I do not see an indication, unless Deputy Minister, I'm not seeing your hand. I have not seen any. I take it that the guidance given by the meeting is well understood.
I'm fine, Chair.
Okay, fine. Thanks, Deputy Minister. So I just wanted to be sure that you got the guidance. Thank you.
Chairperson.
Yes, is that the Chair, acting Chair? Of,
the interim board, Chairperson. Chairperson, I want to acknowledge of all your response or your closing remarks, and I want you to know that we have listened to it. We therefore would want to work, because we want to work with the portfolio committee, with Parliament, we will make sure the resolutions that need to be implemented are implemented. If they're not implemented, there should be a reason
for not implementation, a reason that is acceptable. So I will make sure, and we will make sure as a board, that all the resolutions, the guidance you have given us, also we appreciate it, all resolutions that needs to be implemented. We will try our best that everything is done. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you for your guidance. And thanks to the portfolio committee members.
Thank you, Karen Boche. We would want to really work with yourself to deliver on the mandate. Honourable members, as I said, without waste of time, let's thank the department led by the Deputy Minister in this instance, with the USASA and USAF for coming before the committee, and that we'll be able to see progress beyond this point. Would now go to the other item, of which would not want to hold you in the meeting when we deal with minutes. If your pressing matters to attend to, would not take it badly. It will be because you have to be there. Thank you. Ajura.
The minutes is being shared, Chair. Chairperson, are you there?
Yes, I'm back. I was losing power here, so I've just sorted that out now. Honourable members, we are on the 5 minutes as you see them. We will now go page by page as we usually do. Any takers on that page? Okay, can proceed. One person.
Chairperson, yes. McKenzie.
Yes, and which one, Honourable McKenzie?
On that page, under point 5, the last bullet point, Roman numeral 4. Roman numeral 4. It says, ICASA is proceeding on the note of litigations. That doesn't make very much sense. I think you should change that to ICASA is proceeding with the spectrum auction process. I think that's an accurate reflection of what was discussed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable McKenzie. There's also from the PLO of the Deputy Minister, Ajara, you would make that correction on the spelling of the surname as put in the chat. Okay. So you can go back to that later so we can proceed. Next page.
Thank you, Chair. Just on this page.
No,
I see they've changed, Mr. I'm done. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, as I said, Ajira, you've been also make sure that the name of the PLO for Deputy Minister is corrected spelling wise. Now, B-E, right? Ubeni, not Ubani. Nana. N-G-U-B-E-N-I. That's good. Alright. So those would have been the corrections that would have been made to the minutes. May I formally get a mover for adoption of the minutes with the corrections?
Honorable Kupeda, second.
I hope, Hajira, you can hear.
I can hear you, Chairperson.
No, I'm saying you also hear the seconder. A minute.
Yes, Ms. Kubeka. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, I couldn't hear you, Honorable Kubeka.
Yes,
I understand. I understand. But thanks for speaking with us. So the minutes are there moved for adoption, and since there's no objection to that, so they are now adopted. There's a true reflection of the previous meeting with the corrections made. That being the case, honorable members, it then takes us, I think, to the last, that's the last item we have, but the understanding, Hajira?
Yes, Chairperson, that's the last item for today.
Okay. Honorable members, as we are about to close the meeting, I want to just address this point. You would know that you have received communication in relation to our oversight visit, which could not be agreed to with reasons that were forwarded to us. It's a matter that we would still want to work on, interact with the relevant offices so that there's agreement in terms of the time that could be given to us. And you will understand that this is mainly because the program of Parliament has been changing given realities, and therefore affects the way also planning goes. So we'll have to interact with the relevant offices, because for us as the committee, it is very important that we do have these oversight visits to the areas where these programs are said to be there, so that we do not experience what Honorable McKenzie also shared on the oversight that they went to at some point, and that they can be actioned immediately to sort out problems. So I just want to indicate to yourself there's still commitment to ensure that that happens. The second point really is that whilst we were in the meeting, there's been an indication to the support staff again that SAPO may now not be ready with the annual report next week. They were to be ready on the 20th, according to what has been said, and therefore would not be ready. I think there are still issues outstanding with the Auditor General and so on. Initially, the report was to be approved by the board on the 5th of March, and that by that time they would be then ready to take us through. We would still need to engage with them through the department, which is what I've asked it be done. That there were matters that were raised by the committee which were not responded to. And the understanding was that we would then use their appearance before the committee to be able to engage on those issues. We'll then have to make a call at some point whether to meet them without this report, and that we engage them on matters that have been raised with them, which they needed to respond to from the previous meeting. But secondly, there is a report of the committee which needs to be approved by the committee as an annual report of the committee. It made sense that we should be having that, taking into account also the interactions with SAPO, so that the areas that we are responding to, if need be updated, then to reflect a real situation of what the committee has been able to deal with in this year. So that's a point that I thought I should make, honourable members. So we'll follow through, and if therefore there are changes on the programme, we'll be able to come back to yourselves. But I take it that in a case where we still proceed with the meeting after engaging with SAPO, that at least they should respond to the matters that would have raised. We should be ready for such. So I just thought I should raise this right at the end, because it was an interaction on the side whilst the meeting is continuing, that there's this message now from SAPO. Unless I have left any matter I think from where one is sitting, it means we would be meeting tomorrow, and that's on CETA as well as World Radio Conference, which we will get a report on. Am I correct, Angela?
That's correct, Chairperson, and also at 8 o'clock, the VETS training program.
Oh, yes, we also have the VETS Think Center talking to our role in the digital society. I would urge members to really join the session. Those sessions have been very helpful to us as members in the work. We do, especially those of us who have not been in the sector before, who are reaping now, I think, the benefits of the committee. Please participate. With that, honourable members, thanks.
Sorry, Chairperson, before you close, could I just step in for a minute?
Yes, Honourable McKenzie.
Thank you very much, sir. Just based on your first point around the South African Post Office, I'm fully in support of having them come before the committee personally, even though they haven't tabled their annual report. As a resident of the West Rand, I'm sure you're aware that the Kagiso Post Office has now been locked and closed by the landlord. So the people in Kagiso, if they're going to go and get their 350 Rand grant, now have to travel to Mogale City. And when they arrive at Mogale City, Mogale City is also closed. So where do they go then? And how many thousands of people are going to be traveling to Mogale City only to find this post office closed? Chairperson, we need accountability from the post office. We need to practice oversight on the post office. It's an absolutely critical lifeline to so many poor and vulnerable people. And if we don't do that, Chairperson, we're delinquent. So I do say thank you very much for the indulgence.
No, thanks, Honourable McKenzie. I take it that there's not been an objection to this part of trying to interact with SAPO. And as I said, brief the committee in the channels that we use to brief the committee. Otherwise, Honourable members, once again, thanks. Meeting stays adjourned until we meet again.